Greetings and thanks for joining us. This is Casey Green. I'm the founding director of the Campus Computing Project. I'm the digital tweet blogger at Inside Higher Ed, and I'm also the moderator for the weekly This Week at Higher Ed programs. And this podcast is a This Week sponsored postscript, today featuring a conversation with Chip Posick, who is the co-founder and CEO of 2U, which is also a sponsor of the This Week programs. 2U partners with leading colleges and universities to deliver the world's best online degree programs so students everywhere can reach their full potential. Chip, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Casey. Thrilled to be here.
So, Chip, let's begin our conversation by talking about the changing landscape of online education. Roughly 15 years ago, during the quote-unquote .com, .edu era, many colleges and universities rushed into online ed. The thinking at many institutions was we have syllabi and servers, so it should be relatively easy and inexpensive to serve up courses on screen to draw in more students and also to bring in significant new revenue. And yet we now know that that didn't work out so well. Going online wasn't so easy as anticipated. Developing good, effective online content and programs took significant time, money, and faculty commitment. And although there were some big announcements about the movement into online ed from many campuses and consortia, there were also some big crashes that followed, including Fathom, All Learn, which was a consortium of some Ivy universities, the British Open University, and some nonprofit and some for-profits, rather, such as UNext, among others. What did higher education and its online ed partners learn from the crash of these early efforts, Chip?
Well, I mean, really, the early efforts were pioneers, but the reality is building high-quality online education is not specifically about building great courses. While that's one part of it, having a compelling proposition for the students overall requires more than just some video production. So today, we take an approach that we think is pretty different, even for most online programs being rolled out today, where we have weekly live classes with an average class size of 11.9 across what is now a large number of students, let's say around 13,000 total inception to date enrolled students. So our hashtag is no back row. We all know the back row, the seats closest to the exits, a refuge for minds that wander. What if you could eliminate that back row and bring every student forward? Now, Casey, I say that sounds like nice marketing copy, but the reality is in our platform, students are face to face with each other and with a great faculty member from, let's say, Berkeley or Georgetown or USC. And that's hard to replicate. So back in 2000, the notion of just putting a course online was one thing. Most of the courses were really not very interactive. In our case, it's almost the extreme of interactivity.
So let's push that a little bit, Chip. Beyond this no back row and faculty engagement, more than just the design of a course and pushing it up on a screen, as you talked about, what are some of the other essential elements of successful online programs?
Well, I mean, you know, a business model is really pretty critical. Every business has to be sustainable. And if you look at many of the early efforts, they simply weren't sustainable. So if you look at what 2U provides, one of the things we find that most universities make a mistake on when they're thinking about doing it themselves is they think about this as only course building. And the reality is the course build is an important part, but the interactivity comes from great faculty, engage with students in a real way, from great support. So we offer 24/7 support on a worldwide basis, support in ways that wouldn't be obvious. So if you're going to teach somebody midwifery, which is one of our degrees with Georgetown, you wouldn't want to go to the midwife that delivered the virtual baby. You actually want to have, you know, you go to a midwife that actually delivered the babies. So we provide a physical placement for a student in their local area. That's just one example, Casey, of something that wouldn't at all be obvious to people, but we have 100 full-time people that do nothing but that. So doing this at scale with the interactivity that a campus would require. So what we're trying to do is replicate that campus program. It's actually exceptionally difficult to do it online. So you typically don't find, even today, much less in the year 2000, I know the framing of this question was around the dot-com bust, but even today, most courses that are online today are not really as interactive as a campus course. So it's a real challenge.
So Chip, as you talk about what 2U does, it seems that rather than getting caught up in the high-tech versus high-touch dichotomy that we often hear about higher education and online courses, 2U very much seems to focus on trying to provide for your partners and for their students, your campus partners and their students, a tech-enabled high-touch experience.
That's right. I mean, what I like to say is that we are making a great digital version of them. So fundamentally, what this is about is providing an online environment that is equal to, or in some cases better than, the campus environment. The reality is, a great school like Berkeley, if you go to school at Berkeley, you have a fabulous experience. Now, on one hand, people are not going to Berkeley for their operational efficiency, right? They're going to Berkeley to be taught by a great faculty member. But when you're on campus at Berkeley, you almost take for granted just how awesome it is. And your outcome is typically that awesome. If you go to Georgetown or Berkeley, Northwestern, any of our programs, any of our partners, on campus, you have a fabulous experience. Doing a digital version of that is actually really hard. It's not just about building courses. It's providing a comprehensive network, support. We like to think that we're not just producing master's graduates, we're producing Trojans, Tar Heels, Hoyas, and Bears. You know, the fact is, if you look at a 2U program, we go to great lengths to try to replicate that experience and take it from an on-campus experience to an online environment. Long-term, I think the story here is about the desegregation of the online student.
Let's talk a little bit more about that no back row experience and the term that uses desegregation, fully integration. The fact is that, as you said a few moments ago, you want students who are involved with 2U programs, the 2U partner campuses, to feel as if they are, in fact, Bears or Trojans or Tar Heels. How does that work?
Let me say that differently for you. So a university signs up with 2U knowing that they are required effectively to make these students equal to the campus students. So it's not that they will be like Trojans, Tar Heels, and Hoyas. They will indeed be Trojans, Tar Heels, and Hoyas. The hard part about that is replicating the experience from the campus and bringing it online. So what that requires is a level of interactivity that you typically don't find in online programs. So today, most online programs are still based on asynchronous instruction fully, and we really believe in the combination of synchronous and asynchronous. I hate those terms because people often don't know what you're talking about, but you're talking about small, live classes with great faculty members and a real network of people. So when you're in one of our programs, you are definitively a member of that community. The school's signing up for that up front. Now, how do you do it? I mean, I could give you some incredibly boring details about how we help students get a student ID. I could give you incredibly boring details about how students reserve classes around their own schedule so that they can fit it into their life. I could give you more boring details about the fact that graduation is one of the most important parts of any individual's life, really ever. You think about it, weddings, babies, I mean, they're big moments, and graduation is right up there. But the fact is, you know, graduation from a university is a huge deal. And so allowing students to participate fully in the campus experience requires a commitment of not just capital, but also know-how. And I would say, Casey, most of what the technology brings requires, the technology is one thing, and we're very proud of our technology. We have a lot of proprietary technology. But it really requires a leadership commitment that is most important. You know, in some ways, the university itself has to step out of the back row. Why? Because they have to change almost every operational procedure they have in order to run a 2U program. It's a non-trivial decision by a university.
Chip, let's talk about the other side of that commitment and engagement. We've been focusing a bit on the student side. What about the faculty side? I mean, nationwide, we know that in many instances, there's faculty resistance to online programs, a concern about quality, about engagement, about ownership of intellectual property. Are the online courses as good as the on-campus courses? What's been the experience with the 2U partner institutions and partner programs?
You know, I mean, it's pretty incredible. We have over 800 2U faculty. Now, the tricky thing about that is they're, of course, not 2U faculty. They're Georgetown, Berkeley, Chapel Hill faculty. I mean, what's crazy, Casey, is I actually changed the name of the company because of this. So we were called Tutor for a long time. And we changed the name from Tutor to 2U because I believed it said the wrong thing to the world. It implied that we were doing the instruction. And the reality is we will never do the instruction. Like, this is meant to be a Georgetown, a Northwestern, a American, a GW faculty member, not 2U. But thinking about the faculty that are in our programs, there's over 800 that have been teaching in our programs. And if you look at their net promoter scores or their satisfaction, we're a little obsessed with net promoter scores, whereas most of higher ed doesn't really use them. But they're a very high
Chip,
bar.
For a lot of folks who don't know, let me stop you. A lot of folks don't know what a net promoter score is. They may know Rate My Professor, but not net promoter. So explain that as we go forward.
Sure. So a net promoter score is probably the most widely used consumer satisfaction metric by consumer products companies. And the reason for that, it's a very high bar. So what you're actually measuring is the people that are promoting you versus detractors. And so it's a 10-point scale, and the critical question is, would you recommend whatever this is to a friend? And the calculation on that 10-point scale, you count 10 and 9 to the positive. You count 6 through 0 to the negative. You subtract the detractors, that 6 through 0, from the supporters of the 10 and 9, and you eliminate 7 and 8. So you don't even count somebody that gives something an 8 to the score, which I think, you know, an 8 out of 10 is pretty good. And so
what you only do with the most affirmative.
That's right. And what you end up with is a number. Anything above 0 is considered good. Anything above 50 is considered world class. And our blended faculty net promoter score is 71, which tells you, just to give you a number to point it to, the latest iPad number was 69. So, you know, very, very high quality responses from faculty members. So, you know, we found that once faculty really see it this way and experience it this way, very often you can take true detractors and just supply them with really good information about how we do this. And over time, they become some of our bigger supporters. It takes time. And the reason it takes time is my company's biggest challenge, period, is preconceived notions of online education. Just terrible. Everybody thinks it stinks. Everybody. Almost universally. So people, what I find funny about many of the surveys, including the Inside Higher Ed survey, is everybody thinks online higher education is terrible. Everybody. So it's not just faculty. And once you expose people to a 2U program, honestly, it goes exactly the opposite direction. People are very bullish, very positive. Students are very positive. Faculty are positive. Interestingly, the blended student net promoter score is 68. It's actually a little bit lower than the faculty number, which shocks me because faculty are not exactly known to be a low bar. I mean, they're pretty hard. But both are really, really high numbers.
Let's talk about some of the colleges and universities that have partnered with 2U. Ahead of our conversation today, I went to your website looking for those institutional logos. A couple of things were striking to me. First, you emphasize programs as opposed to institutions. So it's communications at Syracuse, data science at Berkeley, physician assistance program at Yale, public health at George Washington, education and social work at Southern California, School of Business at North Carolina, as some examples. But the second part of that strikes me as well. These aren't institutions that rushed to the web during the dot-com era or even afterwards. They are, some might say, sort of late arrivals given where higher education went into online education over the last 15, 18 years. What's that about? Why are they, you know, why are these institutions that in other contexts might be seen as laggards into the world of online education in there now, and clearly they're doing something with your firm, with 2U?
Well, I mean, honestly, most of the schools that we partner with, certainly not all of them, but most of them really did not have an active online experience prior to 2U. So we're normally breaking the ice, let's say, at each of our institutions. There are some exceptions. So Yale actually had done quite a bit before us. Syracuse actually had an existing online MBA that we ended up replacing. Most of the time, there is not a tremendous amount of online activity at the school, with the exception of MOOCs. Over the last couple of years, with the expansion of all the various MOOC platforms, many of the schools have been doing MOOCs. But beyond that, in terms of online degrees, there really hasn't been much activity. I would say I'm blessed to owe that to USC, Georgetown, and Chapel Hill. You know, we convinced three great universities to work with us in the early days, and we didn't do anything else for a long time. We ran four programs at three universities from 2008 to 2013. And, you know, I'm very proud of that time because we learned a lot of hard lessons. We got a lot of things wrong, but we got the most important things right. We pretty much out of the gate had convinced our board that there'd be a long-term correlation between our financial success and student outcomes, and we really never wavered from that. So even when it was sort of ridiculously expensive in the early years, and I think that's built the right thing for the company going forward, you know, the right DNA, the right sort of bone structure. And so the reason I answer that today, now I can point to those early schools that have had pretty incredible outcome success and pretty incredible financial success, and both are relevant. So our newer partners can look at some really great results from some of those early schools. And now what's pretty exciting is our 2013 and 2014 schools are really having their own impact. So it's gotten easier, but we're normally the first.
And Chip, going back to the conversation, your comments a few moments ago about those three early schools, what are some of the things that you and your colleagues at 2U have learned from that experience that now, if you were doing good, but acknowledging there were some things you could do better, what are some of the things you're doing better now because of that, those early partners and the learning from that experience?
You know, I honestly, we talk about this quite a bit. I don't think there's any part of our business today that we are not substantially better. You know, we were a tiny little team that had never done this before. And if you think about it, it's crazy that anybody said yes. You know, we had no platform. We had no funding. Lehman Brothers is collapsing. You know, I'd like you to take these online students you've never had before and, you know, I'd like you to make them equal to the campus students and give them the same rights and therefore the same responsibilities. And we promise we can find really good ones. And we promise that the experience will be really good. And we don't have a platform. We have a tiny little team. And I'd like more than half your revenue, please. I mean, it's crazy that they said yes. So luck is part of life. And we were in the right place at the right time. And we met some leaders that still today have made a massive difference in a bunch of people's lives by saying yes. But, you know, they sort of didn't let the skeptic win. And they went for it. And, you know, we were committed to the right things. And as a partnership, we learned a bunch of hard lessons. You know, in some ways, if anything, the product itself, the degree itself was right from the beginning, but all the business processes we had to drastically improve over time. I mean, one of our earliest learnings was to make sure that you've got direct phone integration, because if you have 15 people in a live session purely on the web, it's a little bit like, you know, you can't hear anything. So right. Having that deep phone integration was pretty critical. But there's a bunch of lessons learned on the business side. I mean, I think the thing about our business, the part that isn't very sexy, the business operation behind it all, is really critical to making this work. I mean, I can tell you exactly where every student is in the program at any particular point. Why is that important? Retention drives the whole thing. It's all about students having the right outcome. And if you retain them, they typically have the right outcome. Job placement, in-program placement, bunch of problems in our early years that our first partners lived through. Why? Because it's really hard. You know, we have 100 full-time people that do it. You know, you want to find a clinic for a Georgetown nurse in Nebraska, we got to find one. And we have to find the right one that's approved by the faculty. And we have to do it in a time frame that allows the student to be placed and successful in their first set of classes. It's all very hard. So state approvals, another big lesson learned. State regulation is a reality, and we handle that for our university partners. So I have 8 full-time people that do nothing but that. I mean, they're each part of the business. There's a little, it's like we're like a blooming onion. You keep peeling, it gets more interesting.
Yeah, but you're also talking a lot about infrastructure that goes well beyond, again, what appears on the screen, that seems to be essential as well.
That's right. Infrastructure, you know, it's not the fun part, but the tech-enabled service component of our business is critical. And we keep evolving it. You know, we've got a bunch of stuff coming. So we just announced something called Campus Scaffold that allows our current partners to utilize the technology on campus. And then we also will market the campus programs while we market the online programs. We haven't talked about marketing at all, Casey, but it's critical. And it's a sensitive subject in higher ed. But there's no business in the world that isn't successful without marketing. That's why they teach it in B schools. So, you know, it's a big part of what we do for our schools. Very important.
Chip, we began by talking about the dot-com era and what's changed with online ed. Let's look forward 5 to 10 years. What will change? What will be the key components or the core elements of successful programs as online ed goes forward, as 2U goes forward?
Well, I used to say that the horses left the barn, but because Harvard and Yale weren't the jockeys, no one was paying attention. But the reality is now we're very proud to have Yale as one of our partners. And great schools are starting to notice doing it this way really works. You can build an incredible outcome. You can build a great alum base. You can expand your mission. You know, the reason schools are signing with 2U is not because of the financial impact. It's because of the mission-driven impact. You know, Georgetown Nursing is all about building more high quality nurses in the Georgetown tradition. I mean, that's why the school exists. So what we found is that schools are starting to embrace this in a more sort of rapid fashion. So the pace of change is picking up. Now, at the same time, one of my great provosts told me that the story of change in higher ed is the story of the turtle being mugged by two snails. So it's slow. But it's starting to move more quickly. So if you look out 5 to 10 years, we believe, I think too many people are forecasting the demise of the American university. I think that's a little crazy. If you go to one of these schools, you have a fabulous outcome. So we're certainly not, I don't believe that. I do believe that we are kind of reshuffling the deck of graduate education right now. I mean, today, not in 5 years. We think we're reshuffling the deck. It's too obvious. This is too convenient. Why should the degree not fit around you? Why should you have to fit yourself around the degree? So if you look forward, we do think that the schools that embrace this type of online education, where you're not sacrificing quality, but you are allowing significant flexibility. I mean, for the first time ever, you don't have to pick up your life, quit your job, and move to attend a top 20 B school. That's not a small thing. So we think over the next 5 to 10 years, you will see those schools win, which is part of the reason that our partner set is expanding. Now, when I look out 10 years, I don't see half of the number of universities, but I do see the full desegregation of the online student. There will be just students. There'll be no online and offline. So you start seeing the beginning of that now. I mean, Chapel Hill, our B school, announced that any MBA UNC student can go to campus and take courses whenever they basically choose to, any semester. And they started allowing the day students to actually take online courses. So that blending of the world that's beginning, we think as you go further out, you'll see a full blend because the reality is just too much in demand by the student body.
Great. Chip, thanks very much for your time, for talking with us about the experience at 2U and the experience of students and faculty who are part of the 2U network and at your partner institutions.